Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, just wrapped up his rookie season with the Washington Commanders, Brian Robinson Jr., is going to join us on CBS Sports Radio. So I'm reading some stuff right now from this Mike McCarthy press conference. I guess through some of the ways that McCarthy answered questions in this presser, as the Cowboys made six coaching staff moves today, I just assume, as long as Kellen Moore wasn't going to get a head coaching job, which I don't think he's going to, I would not make Kellen Moore a head coach in this league. I've said that for the last 2 years. I'm not in the mind of that he's going to be a good coach in this league. I'm not in the line of thinking that he's going to get a job as a head coach. But if you want to make the case that he's coaching quarterbacks or an offensive coordinator somewhere else, okay, fine, be it. But, Hickey, I guess the tone from this press conference, from everything that I'm reading, when Mike McCarthy addressed reporters a little bit ago, is that a lot of people are thinking that McCarthy, with his noncommittal responses about Kellen Moore, could actually be in danger of losing his job outright, which I didn't think it would go to that extreme, even though I'm not the biggest Kellen Moore fan in the world, because we talked about this in the last hour. The last 2 years, we've talked about maybe Dan Quinn one day replacing Mike McCarthy. For a while, Kellen Moore's name, when Jason Garrett was there, was like right on the list to replace Jason Garrett. So maybe that relationship has run its course.
When your answer about your OC's future is evaluation is still going on, not the most ringing endorsement. And if Kellen Moore is back, boy, is his seat on fire. On fire. And
I don't think he's coming back. If you knew he was coming back, or if McCarthy wanted him to come back, because there could be many people getting in McCarthy's ear, right? Like Jerry, Steven, Will McClay, like there could be a lot of voices here dictating this decision. But if McCarthy wanted him back, don't you think he would speak a little bit more positively and a little bit in a clearer manner when addressing Kellen Moore? I think McCarthy does not want him back. Now, can you get the rest and the power structure of the Cowboys organization to agree with you?
Well, that's the thing, is if it's the other way around, let's say McCarthy wants to keep him, but everyone else doesn't. If you're McCarthy, I think speaking out of line only hurts you more than anything else. If you say, I want him back, I'm going to try my best to get him back, and then he's fired,
yeah,
either undermines your authority, which makes you look bad, or you ruffle Jerry's feathers, which is not good either.
But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you could speak about this in a more positive way. From the way that the tone of this press conference was, it was very much appearing like he's not going to be back. So I don't know why, if they made changes today, why wouldn't they just announce that today? Are they waiting to see if he gets a job somewhere else?
That's probably part of it.
So it's a softer landing spot.
So when Frank Reich was announced, they probably learned, okay, he's out.
Who thought he was actually going to get the Panthers head coaching job?
Maybe there was more hope than thought of actually getting it, but
Take our garbage and turn it into gold.
Please hire Kellen Moore. Or actually, no, don't hire Kellen Moore. He's great. No, really, that would really suck if you hire him away from us. Please, no.
We love Kellen Moore, as you have a sign that you're holding up. We actually don't like him whatsoever.
As the posting, okay, offense coordinator is live.
Get that resume ready, is probably what Jerry keeps on saying to him. And then I read this via the fine folks at Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio. I guess Mike McCarthy in this press conference said, Jerry Jones wants me to be the coach of the Cowboys as long as Tom Landry was the coach of the Cowboys. Florio notes that McCarthy would need to reach the age of 85 and still be employed as the head football coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, I think I have my Cowboys history correct. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the first move Jerry Jones when he bought the team to fire Tom Landry?
Yes. He moved on from Tom Landry.
Interesting comparison. I know it's more about the length than the years, but it is funny that
it's more about the history of the organization.
Jerry does reference the guy he fired as his first move as owner,
yeah,
as now he hopes to have him coach for as long as he did before then.
Yeah. Landry was the coach of the Cowboys from 1960 to 1988. I'm just going to go.
Time. So
I'm
85 just, years old. Do you think Mike McCarthy's still on the sideline at 85?
I'm going to say no.
If he is, how many Super Bowl rings does he have?
Knowing the Cowboys, maybe zero.
Probably zero, honestly. Maybe one once, you know, if Jerry Jones is no longer wielding the power that he has now.
We got to find the audio of this press conference. If we could try to do that by the end of the show, because I really, really need to hear that quote. Because, you know, sometimes things get authored and they're not, like, written the way that they actually sound. I don't know what could really be changed about that, but I just got to hear the tone of McCarthy when he says that. That's really something.
That he wants him to work in basically his grave, work till 85?
Yeah. Also, if you're a head football coach, not that I know Saban and Belichick are up there in age. When you get into your 70s, like you get to 75, I know it's always tough to walk away because these coaches do this forever and they fear what they're going to do with their life or if they're going to drop dead once they do retire. Don't you got to enjoy life a little bit outside of football? Like when you get into your 70s, like what's the purpose of still coaching?
What is there to be afraid of? Like, you're right. Like, people, I'm going to lose myself and not know what to do.
This is all these guys know.
I would love to know, or I'd love to be in a position at 75 and not to know, like, I have all this money and don't know what to do with it. Please, let me try to figure out, you know, how to find happiness.
Like, Belichick is 70 and Saban's 71. Guys, if you want to go to 75, fine. But after that, walk away from the game.
But all the money they make, like, use it. Like,
but you know what the weird thing is? Like, if you look at Belichick and Saban, you wouldn't think they're 71 and 70.
No.
You know that they're older, but like...
much younger.
Like 60 maybe?
Spirits. Same with Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
All three are...
That's a good one too.
You know, younger spirits. Maybe that keeps them going, but still, I mean, please do something, anything. Stop waking up at 5 a.m. every day and watching tape till midnight.
So my dad is 63. When I saw our BFF John Kincaid in the press box in Philadelphia, John Kincaid asked me, he goes, is your dad still working? And I go, yeah. He goes, why? That's what John said. He goes, he's 63. I go, I just have to go in the office every day now. You know, he loves doing sales. I go, I think he's going to work my dad. And here I go, spilling all the beans on the national radio show. But I said, I think my dad's going to work for like another 5 years. And John's like, oh, please tell him don't do that. I thought that was vintage John
Kincaid. Isn't also, I could be wrong here. Isn't he close to your dad's age or no?
Kincaid?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how old Kincaid is. My dad's
Neither
63.
I have no idea.
I don't think John is.
It'd be ironic if he's like 61. He's like yelling at your dad, stop working, as here he is grinding away himself.
I would say John's like 50.
Okay. I have no idea. I'm terrible with age. So I can never look at someone and tell you how old they are. If I was a carnival barker at one of those, you know, events, I would lose all my money.
Well, we could probably do a quick social media search to figure out what John Kincaid's age is here real quickly. Give me 2 seconds here.
I would agree with the sentiment of John Kincaid. Hopefully, we'll be at a position that...
Kincaid is a little bit older than I thought. Born in 65.
The silence is probably not good. I'm not going to do the quick mental math. I'll let you do it, but...
I think he's 56 or 57.
So he's close. I would love to wake up and not know what to do with my day and have the money and the means to be able to do... maybe not whatever I want, but close to it. Or if I just want to go to the beach all day, I can do it.
Belichick and Saban could do whatever they want.
Well, no, they can. I'm just saying, like, you know, the common folk, me and you.
Yeah.
Then they are set for, you know, again, they're fine. They don't need to work.
As Scott Farrell said, you won't have to drag me out of this studio. You know, I'm not going to do this until I drop dead sports talk radio or be in the sports industry. And I actually don't think it's healthy to do this job, like, more than 30. Like, if you go 30 years of this business, first off, it's incredible. We should all be fortunate enough to have that run. But, man, when you get to be, like, 60 years old, I think you hang it up. Right now, a little bit different for us. We started both at a younger age than a lot of people. But, yeah, when you get to, like, 60, I feel like it's a good cutoff age. Because there are some broadcasters that hang around way too long. Way too long. And you're like, all right, you've had a legendary career. Why are you doing this anymore?
I feel like it's any industry, though, at this point. If you're there for 30, 40 years,
you want to do
usually
something
things change. Usually, if you're stuck in your old ways, you know what to say, either leave the hero or last long enough to see yourself be the villain. That's, I think, would say true in almost any industry.
Well, I asked you this last night, and you had no answer. And usually when I ask you something and you have no answer, the way that I think I know you, you think about this and you try to come up with an answer in case if I ask you this again. So last night, you said in a joking manner that you would quit if Jeff Saturday is the next head football coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And I said, no, you wouldn't, because what else would you do? And you had no answer. If, let's just say tomorrow, radio goes away or sports media goes away, which would never happen, and you had to pivot to a new job, what would you do?
I've not thought about this since I left, so I don't
really
know. Yeah.
Okay, well, I need you to think about something in the next minute.
Okay.
I will give you my answer. My answer is very simple. If, let's say, sports media went away tomorrow, I would become a teacher. When I was a young kid, I wanted to be a teacher. I would go back to school and I would try to become a teacher. That's what I would do. Probably teach physical education, aka gym. I would be a gym teacher. That would be me. And I think I'd be a pretty badass gym teacher. So I would go into the teaching profession. All right. That's been in about 30 seconds. So I'll stall for another 30 seconds. This is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS.
I mean, are we talking about like
radio?
How realistic here? Like, if we're just talking,
like, let's be real. Do I think you're going to go on to be a scientist? Do I think you're going to go on to be a doctor? No. Yeah.
Like,
so
also,
of course we're talking
being
realistic.
You know, yeah, right. I'm not going back to school. That's for damn sure. I am done with school. I would say I've been on a skiing kick. So maybe this is just recently.
A ski instructor?
You know. I would definitely want to. I think that'd be a fun little adventure. Ski instructor in the wintertime, maybe surf instructor in the summertime. So I get to spend my winters on the mountain, the summers at the beach.
Where would you move to?
I don't know. Colorado would be pretty cool. Utah, and there's some in California.
But you also have to be an elite skier, I feel like, to be an instructor.
That's why I asked realistic. Like, do I have time to practice? I mean, that would obviously, you know, maybe a lifeguard. I think a lifeguard would be fun. I could swim. I'm scuba certified, unofficially.
Wow.
So I could definitely...
You really have no future outside of sports media.
Well, I mean, you asked me this question on the spot of what I would do if my career just folded up. I don't know.
You don't have a backup plan?
No. I don't plan on failing.
So it's all sports media or nothing?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Are you supposed to have a backup plan? I don't know.
I think you should always have a backup plan in life.
I like the whole burn the boats motto of just like, what else? You know, I'll figure it out. If things fail and I've seen myself and I can't host and I can't.
If the ship
be a good
is sinking,
producer,
Hickey's not jumping off.
No, I'll jump off.
He's saving everyone else.
At that point, but right
he's
now,
got no
I don't.
Else to turn to.
I don't envision, hopefully, the ship sinking. If it happens that day, then I'll on the fly figure out what I'm going to do. But right now, I'm not taking, you know, classes on the side to be some sort of instructor or figure out, you know.
So when you were a kid,
banker.
What did you want to be when you grew
pro
up?
Pro athlete.
Oh.
And that quickly did not really. But radio was always quickly right behind it. I listened to the radio a lot growing up. So that was always kind of always in the back of my mind.
Three things I wanted to be when I was a kid. And becoming a sports media, becoming a talk show host, I figured out at the age of 8. But I had two things before that. Number one, I think you're going to laugh at this one. I wanted to cut hair. When I was at kindergarten, they're going around the room, the kindergarten graduation. What do you want to be? Kid says astronaut. Next kid goes, want to be a doctor. Want to be a baseball player. I get up. I want to be a barber. That's what I want to be. So my parents got a kick out of that. They always tease me about that. I think I said hairdresser was the way that I wanted
Even
it.
More professional.
Yes. I was very
charge
thought out.
Charge higher rates if you're a hairdresser compared to a barber.
As a 5-year-old, I was well thought out. Then I wanted to be a baseball player. And then quickly after that, just in the lifestyle I grew up in, I figured out I wanted to be a talk show host.
Here's one that's actually I thought about before, younger, because that kind of sparked a thought that's realistic somewhat. Firefighter. That's one I've always...
Oh, I can see you being a firefighter.
Always thought was very cool. Helping others, which I do like a lot.
Yeah.
Now...
I can see you being a vet.
I'm not really around animals that much.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Never
I
had a dog growing up. Never had a cat growing up. Mm-hmm. Had a few fish.
Thought you could be like Nigel Thornberry and talk to all the animals and all that stuff.
I do. Well, I will say I love you know, Shark Week. I love National Geographic. I love Discovery. So if I can, you know, if you want me, get me in a tank or get me in a cage with some sharks and do some research, I'm in.
Okay.
But all the other stuff's kind of boring.
Maybe be a scuba diver.
I'm in. I took it to college.
Cool.
I'm ready to go.
So Mark Maskey, what a transition this is. The Panthers are no longer an option. This is what he tweeted. But this is first off, I guess, okay, so this was today? Was this today? Yes, it was. So it was after the Frank Reich news. The Panthers are no longer an option for Sean Payton, and there was an issue with Payton's interview with the Broncos. Sean likes the idea of coaching Russell Wilson and having that defense, but fears a potential power struggle with a member of the ownership group, sources say. So that was the Mark Maskey report. Sean retweeted it, Sean Payton, and he said, zero truth to this. We had a great visit, and Broncos ownership was fantastic. Did the meeting end yet, Hickey? Do we have any confirmation of the meeting end yet? Because Sean is in like a 10-hour meeting with the Arizona Cardinals today.
I did see a video of him and Michael Bidwell walking out of the facility like an hour ago. So it seemingly is
wrap it up.
Either over or they're shifting it to dinner, but just going to continue at a different locale.
Okay. So right now, all we know is Frank Reich gets the Panthers job. My reaction, doesn't really excite me. I'm predicting Broncos get D'Amico Ryans, Colts go with Jeff Saturday, Cardinals with Brian Flores, Texans with Jonathan Gannon. Now, here's the big question. When was this tweet from Sean? Because if Sean Payton, this was an hour ago.
Yeah, it was recent, yeah. This tweet was only 3 hours ago that Mark Maskey put up.
If he was responding to this tweet out of that meeting, now, you could get out of the meeting where you look at your phone, then you look at your phone, you see all these responses here, and you felt compelled to respond. But if he's tweeting as this meeting was wrapping up, makes you probably not think he's getting that Cardinals job then, right?
Well, if he's in the car, they take two separate cars. I'm sure Sean has a driver, so he's probably sitting in the passenger seat or maybe in the back.
But if you're talking about another job, it makes you think you're not maybe getting this job.
Or he's trying to, you know, put any bad, you know, PR out, you know, put it to rest. Because, again, the longer you don't speak, the more the story grows. Maybe he's trying to get out ahead of it and say, hey, look, that's not true whatsoever. Fake news. I love the Broncos. They're great.
Gotcha. So my predictions, if I misspoke and said Brian Flores for the Cardinals job, I don't know if I did or not. I would go Sean Payton with the Cardinals, Texans Jonathan Gannon, Colts Jeff Saturday, Broncos D'Amico Ryans. But if maybe he doesn't think he's getting this job, then maybe it will be Brian Flores for the Cardinals job. All righty. Anyway, Zach Gilb, Show, CBS Sports Radio, Brian Robinson, Jr.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out to the guest line right now. I'm welcoming a man that just wrapped up his rookie season with the Washington Commanders, and he's here with us today on behalf of Panini, and that, of course, is Brian Robinson, Jr. Brian, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hey, man. How you doing? I'm good.
I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you coming on. A lot of people were rooting for you this year with, unfortunately, what happened in August, in late August when you got shot, and it was remarkable how quickly you were able to return to the field. Just with the rookie season now over and you have some time to reflect, how do you look back on everything you went through in this season?
Well, you know, with the start of it, obviously, unfortunate circumstance where I started, but I'm just, you know, blessed to be able to, you know, get back out there on the field and, you know, show, you know, everybody, you know, my potential. You know, there's really no ceiling for me. I'm going to get better next year, but just to be able to get back out on the field and, you know, just get back out there and compete and just play ball again, man, it's just great. You know, and, you know, we ended up having success this season. We had, like, 7-game win streak within that span, you know, with them around my return. And, you know, 1 game away from making the playoffs. And, you know, so it was really close this year. So a lot to look back on and, you know, fix and come back, you know, come back and fix next year and hopefully we get to the playoffs. I feel like we got the potential to do it. You know, with just a few, pieces we can focus on this off season, and we're gonna come back stronger.
I love the scene when you were running onto the field for your first NFL game in the regular season, and you picked many men. How did that come about? Because that was awesome.
I mean, if I'm being honest, that wasn't my idea. You know, I'm pretty sure somebody, creative behind the scenes, thought of the idea, and they played it, and it was right on time, it kind of matched the situation and, that was going on. And a lot of people was excited about that, even 50 Cent, reached out to me and, showed me some love and just told me, it don't stop nothing, you just keep going. So, just with, that song, playing in my return, it just, brought a lot of attention to me and a lot of people, respect me and my situation.
What were your emotions like running onto the field for the first time as a pro?
It was bittersweet, man. Couple months prior, running out there, man. My career is questioned, just based on, unfortunate circumstances, like I said. But just to be able to come back out there and, receive all the love, from the fans and my team and, my family, everybody, that helped me, get back on my feet and get back out there. It was a blessing to do that.
Brian Robinson Jr. here with us. Were you surprised you only missed four games? Because I couldn't believe how quickly you got back on the field.
Once I started feeling better, they told me, four games, I guess, for the non-injury football list, whatever the deal they had me on, I had to miss a minimum of four games. So I was kind of surprised by the time the fourth game was over that I, felt good enough to, come back out on the field and actually play. So, it was tough, recovering, but, it was all worth it. Yeah.
Brian Robinson Jr. here with us. You had a very successful rookie season. What do you hope to improve on individually coming up this offseason?
I mean, I wish to improve on, everything as far as just, I feel like that's another reason I'm just glad I came out and played, just to give myself opportunity to get the experience of the game speed and just, where I can, come back next year and just had that year under my belt where I, got a chance to go out there and compete against, top tier defenses and teams. And now I know how to, what to study on film and, how to prepare against teams and, where, I need to attack and what the focal points I need to focus on to be as dynamic as I need to be as a running back. And, as hard as it is to do this, to stick out or stand out at this level, we still got to find ways to, try to, take advantage of, our opportunities against our opponents.
I like the skill position players that you guys have. Clearly yourself, Brian Robinson Jr. I'm a big fan of Antonio Gibson, who's also in that backfield. And then we know the receivers with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. It seems like you guys got a really special group of young players in this league.
Oh, yeah, man. And I feel like we're starting to develop the culture needed, in the locker room, and the guys that we have, like the guys you just mentioned, and how we prepare, how we, approach everything we do, like professional, we want to win football games. And I feel like as long as we continue to focus on, bringing in and, having those type of guys around in the locker room and, focusing on those type of, getting those people on the field, and I feel like we'll be a lot better. We'll continue to make progress and positive strides.
What did you see out of Sam Howell in that last game where you guys defeated the Cowboys?
I mean, I seen exactly what I believe Sam could do. Like, I always believed in Sam's potential, like, all year. I at no point did I believe that, if Sam got an opportunity that he wouldn't be ready for it. And I was so happy to see him get it, opportunity against, the Cowboys last game, and he went out there and showed, everybody, exactly why Washington drafted him. And that was something I also already, you know, kind of knew, you know, he had the potential to do, and it was just good for him to kind of get that light flashed on him one time before the season ended.
So you tell me what you see since you're in the locker room with him each and every day, or almost each and every day. What makes you think that Sam Howell could have a lot of success in the NFL?
Just as far as how he approaches, you know, his business, you know, you can tell, you know, it's serious. It's important to him. You know, he's passionate about the game. He's passionate about how he prepares and his work ethic, you know, is, you know, great. And I feel like, you know, as long as he continues to, you know, focus on the things he needs to do to keep improving, you know, he'll continue to, you know, take those positive steps.
So would you like to see him be the starting quarterback next year?
I wouldn't mind. You know, if that's a decision the coach made, you know, like I told, like, I always, you know, respond with that. Like, you know, the coaches, you know, make those decisions. Like, you know, they made decisions between Carson and Taylor, you know, and I have to be, you know, as a starter, I have to be okay with whatever they decide to do. You know, if I played in the last game versus Dallas and they still started Sam, I would still have to be okay with that. You know, that's not my decision, so I got to be okay with whoever they decide to put in at quarterback. But I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, as the starting quarterback. You know, I feel like he got all the potential to do it.
With that being said, you guys really seem to gravitate around Taylor Heinicke. Was it tough to see him get benched for that game up against the Browns?
Well, yes, in a sense it was. You know, just, you know, because you know how hard he had worked, you know, for his opportunity, you know, even though, you know, the ups and downs, you know, he still, you know, worked hard and, you know, won games for us, you know, and felt like, you know, we did, you know, turn away from him fairly fast, you know, when he made mistakes. But it was just critical times in the year. It was a critical time in the year where emotions, like really, you know, become a factor, and just everything we do, really, and we want to, I guess, everybody try to, you know, be tightened up on the decision making to try to give us our best opportunities, and you know sometimes it works out for us, sometimes then, you know, it just didn't work out, you know, for what we had planned, you know, for you know, benching him. But you know, I feel like, you know, he'll be all right from it. He'll come back from it.
Brian Robinson Jr. here with us. You had a lot of quarterbacks at Alabama that had a lot of success. Let me start you off with Jalen Hurts. Does it surprise you at all what he's been able to do this year? Because he's playing like an MVP and now is 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl.
Don't surprise me at all. Since the time I came in and met Jalen at Bama, he's always, you know, had it in him. You know, and I feel like people started to kind of doubt him just due to the, you know, the competition he was up against. Like, you know, that never, you know, kind of drive down his potential. He always had the potential to do it regardless of, you know, him, you know, getting benched at one time at Alabama, and, like, you know, he transferred it his last year, Oklahoma, you know, broke records and Heisman finalist, and continued to prove his doubters wrong, and, you know, I couldn't be more happy for him, and I would love to see him, you know, play for the whole thing. I would love to see him win the whole thing, because, you know, that's a real good friend of mine. You know, we had a good, you know, friendship at Bama, you know, still does, and you know, it would be no better feeling than see one of your good friends, you know, win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback.
I think a lot of times in sports we forget about the human element of it, and health and safety obviously is such a big importance in life, as you know, Brian Robinson Jr. To see what Tua went through this year, it was scary just watching it from my couch. I just wish him nothing but the best. How did you react to, unfortunately, seeing what Tua had to go through this year with all the concussions?
I really hated to see that with Tua. Like I said, you know, another one of good friends of mine, you know, I had a real, real good connection with Tua at Alabama, and I hated to see, you know, what he went through this year. And I know what type of competitor Tua is. He'll fight through anything if you let him. And you know, it was tough to just see, you know, the head injuries. You know, that's critical in this game, and you know, that can really affect your career. You know, like in a real, very fast, really, you can, you know, get your career ended off head injuries. You know, and he got, you know, so much potential. He's a great, you know, player when he's healthy. He's, you know, he's spot on, and you know, just I just hate to see, you know, the concussions and the head injuries, you know, kind of take him out of the game and just have him, you know, just, you know, just in pain from, you know, his brain. You know, this is tough. You know, this is one of the toughest, you know, injuries, you know, of them all, like, in your head, you know, that can end you before anything. And I would hate to see that, you know, happen to one of my guys.
We'll talk about Panini in just a second before we let Brian Robinson Jr. run. You also played with Mac Jones and know him also very well. What do you say to people that are doubting Mac Jones and are unsure what he could do in the NFL?
For the people that doubt him, like, I mean, they can continue to do that. You know, Joker, when I call him Joker, you know, because exactly what he is. He one of those type of people. He, you know, he stay quiet, you know, take in all the, you know, hate, you know, let people count him out, and he'll show you, you know, every reason why you shouldn't have. You know, he has a very high ceiling. You know, he has some injuries that's kind of, you know, pinched him away from, you know, just getting where he's, you know, he's been trying to get this past 2 years. But I feel like, you know, in the coming year or two, you know, maybe he'll turn around and, you know, show everybody exactly why they should have never doubted him.
Tell me about the fine work you're doing today with the folks at Panini.
Oh, yeah, we just out here, you know, signing in L.A., Los Angeles, you know, signing our rookie Panini trading cards right now.
And you can get NFL trading cards at Walmart, Target, and hobby stores nationwide, and you can also start collecting your favorite NFL rookies as NFTs on the Panini America platform at PaniniAmerica.net. I got to ask you, Brian Robinson Jr., who were some of your favorite players when you were growing up as a kid? Who did you look up to?
You know, just growing up in Tuscaloosa, obviously, you know, the few, you know, Bama boys that came through, like Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, Julio Jones, you know, Javier Arenas, you know, all those guys. You know, off of that team, probably guys like, you know, Devin Hester, Reggie Bush, you know, legendary guys, you know, come through college. Those are my guys.
What was your favorite Saban story with your time with him at Alabama?
Favorite Saban story? Oh, that's a good question. I would just say, you know, if I could get one off about Saban, you know, people really don't know Saban. Saban, the coolest guy ever, man. He, you know, he got more personality than people think. You know, he find a way to, you know, get his laugh off every day, even if you got to say something crazy about you. But, you know, real good man. I got a lot of respect for Saban and the help and the job he did with me in my career. Couldn't be more thankful for Mr. Saban.
Well, really appreciate you doing this today. Good luck, and have a great year number two. We appreciate you doing this today.
Yes, sir. No problem. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All eyes on the ankle of Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday, he was a full participant in practice. Mahomes says practice on Wednesday was, well, pretty good.
I thought I had a good day yesterday. Obviously, it's things you had to work through here and there. But overall, probably better than I expected, being able to go out there and throw the football around and get the reps in that I needed to get in.
It's almost this week, Hickey. And it doesn't mean that the ankle's fine. But it kind of gives you the impression that the Chiefs are saying, we know he's hurt. He has a high ankle sprain. He's going to play. So I guess they're trying to downplay all the potential concern about the ankle. And when they do that, they almost make it seem as if it's going to be a non-factor in the game. But as this game does go on, you're curious how the ankle is going to hold up because we know it is a high ankle sprain.
All right, they should be doing the other thing. They should be upselling it as much as possible.
Right?
Like, I like your idea. Ice, a boot, like really, really have them milk it. What is the media there for, like 15 minutes of practice? Right? They're not there the whole time. It's a very short window. So you're not missing out if like it's just a 15-minute block. Have them on a boot. Maybe put them on a scooter.
Really just have it. Crawling.
Right, yeah. Crutches maybe too. Just really, really sell it.
Back to crawl as Mahomes finds Travis Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. All right, let's go more Patrick Mahomes. He says he's received some good advice from Tom Brady.
Talked to Tom a little bit, and I mean, I have a good relationship with him now, and he gives me a lot of advice. He gives me some advice to help me. I mean, why would you not want to learn from the GOAT, man? So anytime anybody like that wants to give me advice, I'll take it in, and it's cool to see the guys that you've watched growing up your whole life be able to talk to you on that type of platform.
What advice is Brady giving Mahomes?
How to play hurt? Maybe he's referencing the time he hurt his hand.
I guess.
This is what you do. I don't know. Suck it up.
Like, what advice is there to give here?
Well, Tom Brady is someone who does rely on his mobility a lot to win games. So he has multiple ankle injuries like he has in the past. Obviously, Tom's a guy to go to.
Yeah. Marinating with sarcasm, that answer is by Hickey, if you can't tell. Because if there's you and DA, if there's ever an opportunity to take a shot at Tom Brady or poke the bear at Tom Brady, you both do it.
No, it's not even a shot at Tom Brady. It's kind of more of a joke of like, yes, what advice? I'm telling him the advice, you know, as someone who plays a similar style, you know, that Tom could give him help on how to feel better.
Maybe hits up Carson Wentz. Say, Carson, what should I do in the game coming
up? Well, that's I think just as fair, just as valuable as Tom's information is the opposite of what Carson Wentz would say.
Let's hear more from Patty Mahomes. He says he hopes his ankle will be able to hold up throughout the game.
Obviously, I feel like I can still do a lot of things, but it's gonna. We'll see as we get closer and closer, and we'll see during the game. I mean, you can't fully do exactly what you're gonna be in those moments in the game. But all I can do is prepare myself the best way possible, and then when we get in the game, you hope adrenaline kind of takes over, and you can make those throws when you need to.
All right, let's go to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia with his shoulder. Looked pretty damn good last week. They members of the media asked Jalen Hurts on how his body feels.
I felt better, but. Don't really matter. You know, just gotta get it done.
I love Jalen Hurts. I don't think there's ever been an athlete that I've been more enamored with that gives you nothing at every single press conference, but I still just look at him and say, wow, that's a great leader. And I eat up every single word that he says, Hickey.
Doesn't matter how I feel. Not wrong, but he also gives you absolutely nothing about how he's feeling.
That's a quarterback, baby. I love it from Jalen Hurts. A.J. Brown says he isn't a diva after the talks that he was either hurt or frustrated with his lack of targets or lack of catches in the game up against the Giants.
I'm never the receiver to go on the sideline or to try to cause, like, problems on the sideline. I'm not that guy. I think that's what you can describe as a diva or whatever the case may be, but I'm not that person. You know, I'm a guy who goes and talks to the quarterback or talk to the OC and Do it that way. You know, I'm not gonna to try to cause commotion on the sidelines. I'm not that's not who I am. I'll never be that guy.
Now, it's a little weird to me because they're talking about the way his demeanor was on the sideline, and he just said he's not that guy. But I'm gonna just be transparent here. I don't think it was that big of a deal. He looked a little upset on the sideline. It wasn't like he was screaming at Jalen Hurts. Well, like he was telling Nick Sirianni, go bleep yourself. Isn't this such an overblown story here, Hickey?
He definitely was not doing the Stephon Diggs, arms in the air, staring right at the quarterback like WTF. I would agree. I guess the only reason that gives me some pause is I believe at the time that this was shown on Fox, it was 31-7. So it's kind of like, all right, dude.
You should be smiling.
The game, right, this game's over. They don't need you anyway. Like, it's been a ground game. Like, that's sometimes what the game plan calls for. Just like, you're going to NFC title game in your first year here, be happy.
But aren't these great competitors, they have a level of crazy in them, all of them?
You're not wrong. That's, you know, as Mike Tomlin would say, I think we said this yesterday. Rather say whoa than sick 'em. Talk about a guy who gives you nothing. That's something from a guy who gives you nothing.
Tomlin actually is my favorite coach in the league just when he speaks. Because there's not a lot of what's being said, but the 45 seconds he says, it gets me ready to go run through a wall for the man. All right, A.J. Brown says his sideline outbursts, even though he doesn't have them, won't carry into this week.
It's a new week. We in the NFC Championship, and we're moving forward. And it was nothing like serious, but, you know, I'm moving forward, and I know I got a big week ahead of me. And I know. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. I'm not worried about that. And I don't think nobody else should either, because it's not a big deal.
Him and Jalen Hurts are also, like, legitimately really good friends. That's why A.J. Brown is there in Philadelphia. I have no issue over this. I'll take it one step further. I'm betting A.J. Brown anytime touchdown this weekend. Plus 140. Already placed the bet. Placed the bet yesterday. Guarantee that A.J. Brown will be in the end zone this weekend. You can lock that up, Hickey. Lock it up. 1,000%. Your thoughts.
So you're saying that there's not a chance that it's not going to happen, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
There's no chance that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, not even a slightest chance.
Well, end the conversation right there. Hey, Deebo Samuel, for the sake of time. He says the team isn't worried about a loud environment in Philly. I can't shave my head before Radio Row. Come on, Hickey, if that's where you're going. Go ahead.
We know it's going to be loud. But no stadium is as loud as ours. But at the end of the day, you know, they're at home, NFC Championship. They're going to be all riled up. And, you know, we don't really too much feed into all that. You know, we put the pads on and just go to work.
Now, this gets to, like, to be a stupid argument, but the Niners fans are not louder than the Eagles fans. Would you concur there?
I never been to a Niners game.
I have.
Niners Nation is pretty strong. But the Eagles fans are
different breed.
A rare breed, to say the least.
Yeah. Let's go to Christian McCaffrey. Says, despite the calf injury, he's playing on Sunday.
Is there any chance in your mind that you won't play on Sunday?
Zero.
Okay, so there you go. Christian, would you shave your head if you're on the bench?
If you come out in street clothes, start the game.
Robert Saleh on why he hired Nathaniel Hackett to be the OC.
It was important for us to hire an experienced guy, someone who's put it together several times, not at just one spot, but several spots. And but it didn't close the door. We interviewed a lot of potential first time play callers too that were very impressive. But you know, when you look at Nathaniel and this team, we knew we're going to have a basically revamped offensive line. We've been talking about getting a veteran quarterback in here if we can. We've got a really young group of skill guys. So it was very important for us to have guys who have done it before because of the conviction, because of the philosophy, and them having the recall and the scars, if you will, to be able to build what we think can be a really special offense.
So, you know, when I just said Mike Tomlin, Jalen Hurts, they speak for a while and they say nothing, but like, I'll run through a wall for them. Robert Saleh, every time he speaks, I just don't believe a word he says. And I want to root for Robert Saleh. Like, I like Robert Saleh's story, but this year and that quote, Hickey, I just don't buy what he's selling anymore.
Well, he was truthful. He looked for a guy with a lot of scars, a lot of stops, which Nathaniel Hackett, check, check, check. There you go. So if that's what you're looking for, a guy with experience who's learn from previous mistakes. I don't know. Learn is a, you know, that's a different question, but he has a lot of mistakes that he could learn from.
Did he have any time to learn from those mistakes? I'm not talking about a guy that's been out of a job for more than a year. Come on. Guy got fired late in the season, like 2 weeks remaining in the season.
It's an extra 3 weeks of prep that, you know, guys like Cliff Kingsbury didn't have if they were up for the running. You got a head start for everyone else.
Cliff's still in Thailand, I think.
Good for him. I wouldn't come back for a year if I was him.
Cliff Kingsbury, that's the guy who knows how to live life. Lose a bunch of football games, get a lot of money, then go to Thailand, and I'm never coming back. See ya.
not going to be like one of all you other suckers that have to get right back into coaching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.